Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
And continuing on our series of messages that I feel like we should talk about and we need to acknowledge, but I don't really want to. Today we're tackling the issue of slavery in the Bible. And what does God actually think about slavery, and what are we supposed to make of what the Bible talks about when it comes to slavery? And so this is a hard subject. I think I'm sweating already, and I just feel like this is something that we've got to tackle, and so let's dive right into it. There are a number of passages throughout the Bible that talk about it, and when we read a few of them, they give us a certain kind of impression. Let me just read you some of them. In Titus chapter 2, it says, "Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive." In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ." In Leviticus chapter 25, Old Testament, says, "Your male and female slaves are to come from the nations around you. From them you may buy slaves. You may also buy some of the temporary residents living among you and members of their clans born in your country, and they will become your property. You can bequeath them to your children as inherited property and can make them slaves for life, but you must not rule over your fellow Israelites ruthlessly." In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh." All right, so those are a few passages. They all talk about slavery, and if you're anything like me, you read those passages, you hear those words, and something inside of you just kind of cringes. Questions start going through your brain, and thoughts keep coming, and you go, does God allow slavery? Why does God allow slavery? Does God endorse slavery? Does he want slavery to exist? Maybe you start wondering, maybe I can't even trust the Bible, because if the Bible endorses slavery, then that's not a God I want to follow. You may be thinking, okay, if those are the passages about slavery, how come God doesn't tell us to do something different? How come there aren't Old Testament laws about don't have slaves? Why isn't there a more clear statement against it? How come Jesus didn't talk about slavery? Is the Bible out of date? Because when it comes down to it, slavery is horrible. Slavery is terrible. And especially for us, in our context, like, slavery for us in the modern world, like, the thing that comes to mind is the Western European and North American slave trade of black and African people. And when we think of that, and we think back to history, and we think about what happened, and we think about the racism and all that has come out of that, and how that continues to exist in our world, we're left feeling very, very gross when it comes to slavery. And really, you should. We should feel gross about that. Because in our experience of slavery, what we have seen of slavery, what we know about slavery, and what we have heard about it, and the remnants of it that we see around us, it is evil. And I think it's evil because it violates three key things. It has three key pieces of evil. Number one, it endorses, it's built on racism, this idea that one person is better than another, especially based on like their ethnicity or their appearance or their genealogy. The second evil that it just expresses is abuse. It is this matter of treating people as less than, belittling, violating, destroying, harming, generally just treating people as subhuman. And the third evil it embraces and builds on is theft, is this idea of taking somebody and doing something to them without their consent. And so when we think about racism, when we think about slavery, we think of racism, we think of abuse, and we think of theft, and that makes us feel very gross, and it very well should. Those are evil things. Those are horrible things. And a slavery that expresses those things are completely horrible. So how does that fit with what the Bible says? How does that mash up with God allowing slavery to exist and allowing that to be something that it talks about as if it's allowed? What are we supposed to do with that? Well, I think there are two or three pieces to helping us understand this. Number one is that slavery in the Bible was not exactly the same expression as the slavery of the past few hundred years that we have seen in the Western world, especially with the slave trade, with black and African individuals and everything around that. That is not the slavery that the Bible is talking about when it endorses or talks about slavery being something that was allowed for the Israelites. Secondly, is that I think God wants something other than slavery to exist for us. But that's going to take a minute for us to unpack, so let me dive into that. So in trying to understand all these pieces, the only time I see in the Bible where God tells Israel to go get slaves from a people group is the Canaanites. And that's a whole weird situation all on its own. And we can talk about that some other time, but that's the only time I see that happen. And we don't see it happen with other peoples and other groups and throughout history. And we definitely don't see that in New Testament content. The slaves that did exist and that God talks about in the Old Testament and the New Testament there seem to be more of a reflection about what is part of society, not of what is ideal. And slavery was just part of the society, it was part of the culture, it was part of the ancient world. And so we also see that God allows divorce, but it's not what he really wanted for his people. And so in the New Testament, it's very clear that Jesus says, you know what, that was something that was allowed, but not what God wanted for us. And I think slavery was one of those things that was one of these pervasive elements of ancient society that was allowed, but not what God really wanted. And you see that in how he gives instructions to the Israelites and how even in the New Testament, Paul and the other writers are giving some instructions to people and saying, listen, if you're in the situation where you have a slave, you need to understand that you need to treat them as human. You need to be kind to them. You need to respect them. There are some limitations in what is allowed. And when we dig into it, we see that things look much different. And you have to understand that slavery in the ancient world was sometimes self-imposed, that someone would actually sell themselves into slavery. And there was no welfare, there was no health care, there was no social services then. And so some people found that that was a better way to to deal with their economic poverty and situation was to sell themselves into slavery so that somebody else was taking care of them and they were working that way. Now, again, am I saying that's ideal and that's how things should be? No. But I think that is a reality of the ancient world. And as we dig further into what God really thinks about this, we begin to see that the main evils of slavery, as we saw before, were racism, abuse, and theft. And God is not a God of racism, abuse, or theft. Dig into some other passages. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, "Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him." In Colossians chapter 4, "Masters, provide for your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." In Exodus, Old Testament, it says, "Anyone who beats their male or female slave with a rod must be punished if the slave dies as a direct result." And so we see that God is not a God of abuse. We know that God is not a God of theft. In Exodus chapter 21, it says, "Anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession." 1 Timothy, it says, "We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for sexual immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for the slave traders, and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine." In Philemon, it says, "This man is no longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, "Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For the one who was a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person similarly. And one who was free when called is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings." Luke chapter 4 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Deuteronomy, "If someone is caught kidnapping a fellow Israelite and treating or selling them as a slave, the kidnapper must die. You must purge the evil from among you." And we know that God is not a God of racism. In Galatians chapter 3, it says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ." 1 Corinthians 12 says, "For we were all baptized by the one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." And Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And so, in all those passages, and I got a few more for you, I think what it boils down to, what does the Bible say about slavery? What does God think about slavery? Why is it in there? What are we supposed to do with it? I think what it comes down to for us is that slavery may have been allowed, but we were only ever supposed to belong to God. Slavery may have been allowed, but the ideal, the intention was that the only person we would ever belong to, ever be owned by, is God himself. In Revelation 5:9, it says, "You are worthy to take the scroll, God, and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says, "You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings." Romans 8:23 says, "Not only so, but we ourselves, who have become the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." See, for when I read that and when I look at that and I see even in the Old Testament and ancient world where slavery was simply this pervasive thing, we see God calling his people to do it differently. And every step of history, he's calling them to do it a little bit more different than the rest of the world. And he's saying, listen, you are only ever supposed to belong to me. You're not supposed to belong to each other. You're not supposed to be owned by each other. And you're not supposed to be a people of racism or abuse or theft. I hate those things. You're supposed to belong to me only. And we see the whole story of the Bible acknowledging the reality, acknowledging what the situation they were in, but calling them to something bigger, something better. And the hard thing about all that is that slavery still exists today. There is still slavery that happens among us in our world. In our communities, there is the sex trade, there is human trafficking, there is the drug trade, and all that, all those different pieces where we are allowing people to be sold and used in slavery. God doesn't want that. God doesn't want that to be how we function. He wants us to be a people who we ourselves only belong to God, and we fight for other people that they can be freed to only belong to him too. So what does all this mean? It means that slavery was allowed but was never the ideal. That slavery has been part of history, but God has always seen himself as our sole owner. That even in slavery, God wanted his people to treat others better than the rest of the world was treating them. You see, that certain kinds of slavery were acceptable, and some types of slavery have never been acceptable. And even how slaves were treated and talked about in the world of ancient history and in the Old Testament and parts of the New Testament, God was consistently pointing humanity to a better way. What do we need to do with that? Well, number one, don't take slaves. And don't let yourself partake in economies and work that uses slaves. If you support, are part of, use anything from the porn industry, you are endorsing human trafficking and the sex slave. We cannot fall into this place where we are treating other people as slaves or allowing that to exist. And you need to make sure that you are taking the steps not to allow yourself to become owned by somebody else. Your only owner is God. He's the only one that has authority over you. He's the only one who gets to claim you and command you. So don't allow anything or anyone else in this world to take that spot to rule over you. Because, yeah, slave may have been allowed in the ancient world, but you were only ever supposed to belong to God.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.